and we had to kind of really speed read it there at the very end. But I want to get back to that place where we left off so we can... Ephesians chapter 4, right at the tail end there. And as we look here in the Word of God, there's some important parts here that is beneficial for us to bear forth fruit in our lives and to understand that there's warnings here at the same time that helps us to see the other side of and our adversary, the master counterfeiter. And we know who he is. The master counterfeiter is Satan himself. And he's always trying to get us to compromise with the things of God. You say, I go to church, I tithe, I give on all my goods, I'm faithful, I read my Bible. But Satan's always trying to get you to think that, to pat yourself on the back, well, I'm doing all right. And we know that God's always desiring that closer walk with him, that God wants us to walk a holier life and always desiring us to walk closer to him and to be more zealous of service to him. And we know God is a jealous God. He's an angry God. And at the same time, he's a loving God. Let's read here. Let's start here in verse 29 and we'll read down through again where it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And we know, according to the scriptures, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that's where Satan is playground. And if he can get something in our head to get us to chew on it, it finds root down in our heart. And it gets in our heart. And if he can get anything that's displeasing to God, that's his whole objective. Now, I was reading something earlier, and it was really interesting because as I read it, you think, you figure the warfare between God and Satan is I want to get God. But that ain't what Satan's objective was. He says, I'm going to be like God. So he ain't just out just to punch God in the face. He wants to be like him. So he wants attention put to him. So his counterfeiting, even if in the Garden of Eve, one of his main objectives was to take the Word of God and what God said and twist it with just a little bit. And to twist. That's how he gets us to compromise. Well, I read my Bible, I'm faithful, so why do I gotta go further on with God for what? And to get those things sowed in our heart because he is a master counterfeiter. That's what he does. He counterfeits things. And people sitting on pews, there'll be people sitting here today who need God. And in their hearts and minds, they're sitting on a pew and they'll think that is good enough. They do. You know they do. They sit on a pew and think a pew is that's my ticket out. I come to church and that's good enough. And they do their church thing on Sunday morning and then they live like the devil the rest of the week. And Satan's so clever. Now let's read the rest of this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So who can tell me what edifying is? Brother Allen said it last week. Building up. So this is our objective. Towards one another, to build one another up in faith that it may find grace to the hearers. In other words, that it help one another. That's our jobs, to help one another, to lift one another up, to encourage each other. Now Brother Paul, he's beating up Brother Artie all the time, and Brother Artie's getting black eyes. I'm going to have a hard time lifting him up and doing that. So if he's beating up Brother Artie, I gotta do something about it. I gotta pull him off, Brother Artie. Maybe Artie says to let him try. I'll just show him. I'll deck him so quick. I dare him try. But nevertheless, you know what, you see what I'm saying? There's things that we don't want to encourage. There's things we want to douse down. My dad used to have a good saying. He said, you carry 2 5-gallon bucket of water, son. I said, what do you mean? He goes, one of them's got gas and one of them's got water in it. I said, okay. He goes, you put out fires and you build them. He goes, there's good fires you build, and there's some fires you need to put out. Whoosh. And I went, that makes a lot of sense. And it does make sense. You're putting out fires or you're building them. Brother James, I watch him at work, he's putting out fires and building them all the time. You got one trouble after another, no phone ringing. But that's real life though. Circumstances in our lives come in and Satan tries to build a bad fire in your life. Getting doubt and despair and despondency and me, oh my, woe is me. And if he can get us there, boy, he's throwing gas to it. Fanning the flame. That's what he loves. That's what he loves. But we're to edify that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then it says, and grieve not. That word grieve literally means to smother. If you're saved, you're born again, we have the Holy Ghost of God inside of us. Desiring to do what? What's his soul desire to do in life? To worship God. And what else? His sole desire is to edify Christ. He's constantly pointing to Calvary. Constantly pointing to the work of God. Constantly pointing to the things that point to the Word of God. So the Holy Ghost is always pointing to the Word of God. It's pointing to the church house. Pointing to the things that matter. Pointing to eternity. Pointing to holiness, pointing to godliness, pointing to sanctification. Never points to himself. The Holy Ghost is always pointing to things that glorify Christ and all his work. And it says here, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then it says this, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now he compares our forgiveness towards one another. My first pastor, he said it best. He goes, you got to put up with me and I got to put up with you. You ever hear that before? I'm to love you as Christ loves you. I'm to forgive you as Christ has forgiven you. And likewise, you're to love me as Christ loves me. You're to forgive me as Christ forgives me. So he compares, there's the Holy, and remember, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, because this is what we're supposed to do. This is what glorifies God is not grieving the Spirit of God. So here this morning, our minds ought to be totally focused, totally centered on not grieving the Spirit of God. You've been sitting in church, preacher's preaching, and all of a sudden your mind goes something that you're getting ready to do tomorrow morning. And before you know it, you're chewing on it, figuring it out. You're working on it. And you're sitting in a church house. Satan's very clever. That's what he does to get your mind off what you need to be. This is spiritual time. This is time to draw nigh to him, to draw nigh to Christ, that God would help us to bloom forth for his glory. And Satan's trying. Somebody said this, where every time you see an empty seat where somebody sits, you know who that's sitting there? You've heard it, ain't you? I see you smiling. Who's sitting there? The devil. You think the devil misses a church service? He's sitting and waiting. He's like a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Do you think he's got to mess with the one sitting at home? He's got them. Why does he want to waste his time? He's got them. They're at home. So who's he after? He's after sheep. He's after the ones that are in the church house trying to draw closer to God. So to realize your enemy's very clever and then very deceptive, and he's an imitator and a counterfeiter of everything. I mean, he's the best counterfeiter to, well, as far as salvation goes. To make someone think they're saved their whole life, and then at the very end, down at Old Kentucky camp meeting. His wife, pastor's wife, for 27 years. Well, she, Miss Geneva's one too, but she was a pastor's wife, and I'm thinking of another. But anyways, 27 years of being a pastor's wife, realized I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of pretending. It's time for me to get in. It's time for me to get saved. She noted for years, she said, and she goes, what will people think? What will they think if I finally come forward? And I've been a preacher's wife in all this time. She goes, I've opened the Bible and showed people how to be saved. That's Satan's a counterfeiter to make you think. Because as long as he knows, and deep down inside, you know, she said, I knew for years. She said, I knew it. I knew I was lost. I knew I just didn't have. It was so hard for me to do things right. It was so hard for me. See, and living for God, it is hard without the power of the Holy Ghost to help you. If you have no Holy Ghost, it is hard. Because you're trying to be something you're not. And there's folks, there's churches full everywhere this morning with people sitting on a pew. And Satan's clever to keep someone in a place to make them think they are saved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. By the way, that word sealed, it means an unrefundable down payment that God has put on me. You know what that means? One day he's going to come get the purchased possession. You know what that is? That's his youngins. That's the children of God. That's that seal he puts on us, that unrefundable down payment he's put on you and sealed until that trumpet blows. Or the other way. So let's read on. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for Christ's sake have forgiven you. Now let's look at chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and had given himself for us in offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanliness and covetousness, and let it not be named, let it not be once named. He's very particular how he wrote that. Did you catch that? Let all uncleanliness, covetousness. He puts covetousness with, this is a hard one. This is one where Satan, he trips us all up very cleverly. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. But this ye know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean persons, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Listen when it says, and let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So there's the warning. They remember, we see it in chapters broke up in verses, but realize this was a letter that flowed in one stroke of a pen, word upon line, line upon line. Let no man deceive you with vain words, but for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You ever had a whooping by God and know it was from Him? I've been whooped pretty good. Matter of fact, I spent a little short time away from God, and in that time, last time God whooped me, I went 114 feet 6 inches in a car and landed on top of guardrail. And I know, beyond a shadow of doubt, I should have been in God's presence. I should have been there. It should have been over. And I kid you not, if I could have seen God doing it, he said, son, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not kidding. That small, still voice inside, that small, still voice as God speaks to his children, he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I heard, not an audible sound out here, but in here I heard it clearly. I'm not doing this no more. God give me a warning in my heart. I'm not dealing with you no more. And there is a sin unto death. There's a time when God just, all right, I'm done. You ain't doing this no more, and I'm taking you on home. You're done. Your time on earth is over. So there's a warning here. And to realize and to grieve not and to think to smother. I'm going to use this for an illustration because I'm going to put it with this. That boyfriend of that woman that baby started crying, and that boyfriend to shut that baby up, he took a pillow and held it over that baby's head as it squirmed and kicked and tried its best for life till it didn't kick no more. He killed that little thing. But he smothered it. And this word grieve literally means to smother. To think in our hearts, Lord God, I don't want to smother you. I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to hinder God. Limiting God, that's what the children of Israel, they limited God from their murmurings and their groanings and their complaining. And Satan, he was there and he's traveled all through his time and now he's dealing with another generation. But you know what? He uses the exact same things that he did then. Get you looking and seeing other things and get your mind off God and the prize. Get your eyes off your loved ones that you've been praying for. Get your eyes on other things that don't matter and get your eyes on Him. That way God can hear your prayers. Because, let me ask you this, does God hear your prayers if you're murmuring, complaining? Huh? Why not? He goes, I'll shut the doors of heaven. I will not hear you. If you regard iniquity in your heart, that means there's something in your life you know you shouldn't be doing. And you regard that, in other words, you allow that in your life. God says, I won't even hear you. Well, that prayer God answered. It probably wasn't yours. Somebody else was praying for you. Or God would be a liar. Or God would be a liar. And God's not a liar. He can't lie. So if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear. There's requirements with God. As remember being a child, and you did something bad, and mom and dad was wanting one thing from you, and that was for you to say, I'm sorry. My little sister, I had some bullets that had been shot. She about got choked on one when she was little. I didn't mean to, but she got playing. I was blowing a whistle, making a whoosh, whoosh. And so she tried, and she got choked on one. I didn't mean to, but mom was waiting for me to say, I'm sorry. And she wasn't going to talk to me till I'm reminded of that verse every time I think of that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. So I want this way to be clear. Everything confessed up. Nothing between me and God. And that's where we, especially Sunday mornings. Something, whatever happens through the week, stuff happens all the time. But especially right here, right now. Because folks need God. And I want to be that one throwing gas on a good fire. And fanning it. A good old Holy Ghost fire when God gets it stirring and moving. People's hearts start getting warm with God and you feel His presence move in. Makes you want to get up and shout a little bit. Or kick your feet a little bit. Or just sit there and just weep and smile. I like it all. It's all good. So be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of God. Not followers of no one else, but followers of Him. Let's pray. Father, God, we do love You. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, it's so rich. Lord, every time we just sink our teeth in it, it just warms our hearts. It's just like You wrote it yesterday, just for us today. And in Your mind, it's a supernatural book. It is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the hearts of man. Lord, we thank You for that. Bless now this service coming up, oh God, preacher. Lord, someone here today maybe needs to get saved. Lord, we pray that today they just nail it down. Lord, we're on their side. Maybe someone walking afar off, Lord, warm their hearts up to get right. Maybe someone just needs a closer walk. Dear God, You're always drawing us closer to You. So help us today to love You and adore You. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.